Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you happen to be listening to us in this great wide world brought together by the internet. The Last Three Guys Do a Podcast are back. I'm John Morgo alongside Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown, ready to break down what happened over the last 7 days in the world of sports. Before we do that, we'll get into a take care of a little bit of business. Reinhardt Eagles, they were off this week. This time it was a meant bye week. But some news came out of that bye week. Namely, Reinhardt clinched the Appalachian Division title in the Mid-South Conference. Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo! We're division champions one more time. And also, the Eagles moved up two slots in the NAIA poll to number 15. That means they are a lock. They are in the NAIA playoffs. That's going to start in 2 weeks. We'll get our... We don't know the brackets as of yet. That won't get announced until Sunday, next Sunday. We still have a little bit of business to take care of. That would be in the form of the Union Bulldogs. And, of course, the three of us will be up in Waleska on top of the press box at 1:30, 1:15 for our pregame show on ReinhardtEagles.com. And it should be a very interesting matchup. Again, Union still looking for their first W of the season. And we'll see whether or not they can pull off quite possibly the biggest upset of the season in terms of that game and getting the victory against the heavily favored Reinhardt Eagles. We don't have point spreads in NAIA football, but that one would probably be at least 20-21. And before we, and speaking of big point spreads that were overcome, guys, your Atlanta Falcons, and yes, I'm saying your again, they were a 13.5 point underdog to those teams from New Orleans, and boy, did they have a big game this Sunday. They won that one. I believe the final score was 30-9. 26-9 over the Saints. An amazing victory for the Falcons, putting their season out of life support, giving them some meaning. But guys, here's the thing. Isn't this kind of like a carbon copy of what we saw last season, where the Falcons were tanking, they were in the bottom of the barrel, then they go off on a run, got some W's, made their record respectable, and most importantly, missed out on a quality draft pick that would definitely help them in the next draft. Because if you're going to tank all the way.
Yeah, but I think to say that, I think it's a bit too immature. It's a bit early.
Right.
Because that Falcons team that was put out there today in New Orleans, that house was rocking, and we all know that house rocks every single time, right?
Yep.
It is the toughest, probably the toughest place to play in football.
Indeed.
And you saw a couple of fans sleeping. Like, Atlanta put New Orleans to sleep.
They put the paper bags out again. Yeah, they got did. The paper bags. The Aints were back.
The Saints, and they kind of did it to themselves, too. They were like, they came in as, I think, like the fifth least penalized team in the league. They had 11 penalties. Four of them were hands to the face penalties. And I was like, wow, this, you could tell it was just not going that way. Drew Brees did not look comfortable. It's the first time that we could say that all season. We had 7 sacks all year this year. We came in with 6. Grady Jarrett was a defensive nightmare. Even the secondary played well.
Vic Beasley showed up.
He got a sack. You know Grady Jarrett's going to show up. We talk about Grady Jarrett all the time on this show. Another guy that played very well was Kendall Sheffield, the rookie out of Ohio State, the rookie fourth round draft pick out of Ohio State. I thought he played well. Oliver kind of adjusted. They let Michael Thomas get his stuff. Michael Thomas had 12 or 13 catches in this game. So they let him do what he needed to do. But Drew Brees was very uncomfortable in the pocket. And you know what? This, could it be a start? Yes. But we don't know that yet. Can they produce that next week?
Though the schedule is extremely favorable. Carolina next week. You're going to have Tampa Bay twice.
Right.
The problem is they still have to go to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And that's an L right there. So we can't. So really, realistically, the best the Falcons can hope for is 8-8. And I don't think 8-8 is going to get them a playoff spot.
No, it's not. Not.
Not in this. Not in this season.
Not in the NFC. Not the way some of the wild card teams like Seattle is playing,
right.
Minnesota is playing well, and remember those two teams already beat us, so they would have to like completely falter,
right,
for us. And Minnesota plays tonight against Dallas on Sunday Night Football, and then Seattle plays tomorrow night against the 49ers. So you know, we'll see how that kind of shapes up. But this is by far the biggest upset of the season right now. A 1-7 team. I think the last time a 1-7 team beat a 7-1 team was in 2003 when the Jacksonville Jaguars beat Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, you brought up the defense, and it was really the defense that won this ball game. Matt Ryan's numbers, respectable, not hardly earth-shattering, 182 yards, two touchdowns, one pick, but that was a garbage time pick.
Yeah.
Really didn't
matter. It was a throw he shouldn't have made, but you know that's the only mistake I can say that the entire team probably made.
Right. I was watching that throw on the way home and when I got home from work, and my thought was, okay, he's just trying to really just stick it to New Orleans. He went deep, and the safety just kind of came over and rotated.
Williams.
On the route. But getting back to my point, rushing, Brian Hill with 61 yards. Devontae Freeman only had about 40. Julio Jones, 3 catches for 79 yards. The offense played just well enough. I think the hero of the game was Mr. Koo.
Yeah.
With a couple of field goals. Koo-koo-ka-choo. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the story of the ball game. That is an incredible defense that we saw. And a lot of comments that I was seeing is, where has this defense been all season?
Yeah.
I mean, you hold Brees to under 300 yards, but he doesn't throw a touchdown.
The Saints didn't score a touchdown.
Right.
They had
three field goals.
Second time this year. Now, the first time they didn't do it, they won, actually, which was against Jacksonville. So
Thomas still had 150 yards, but it was just a bend, but don't break defense.
And
you talked about the sacks. They had, I believe, 6 coming into the game, and they got 6 or 7 in this one.
They had 7 coming into the game, 6 in this one.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they got to Drew Brees. And before, Leon, you go, another shocking stat. Alvin Kamara, 4 carries, 24 yards.
Yeah.
Thought that was stunning, too. Murray had more carries than he did. So I thought that was a bit stunning, too.
Yeah, their ground game really didn't do anything.
No, not for
them. And the Falcons just held up. I think the Falcons' defense was getting tired of being put on all this season. And I think finally they're like, okay, maybe we have had enough. We are not as bad as everybody says we are. But again, it just begs the question, why hasn't this defense played like this all season? Now, did I read somewhere that Dan Quinn gave someone else the defensive responsibility?
Jeff Albert.
Yeah. So that people are going to say, okay, maybe that's the reason. Maybe Dan Quinn's doing too much.
Yeah.
All right, Leon.
Yeah, I know it's that one thing. No matter how interesting the season is going to get for the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in 2016 when the Falcons were kind of like in the same situation?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the 15-0 Carolina Panthers come to town.
Yeah.
And anything can be going on in life. But the Falcons will wake up for divisional opponents.
Yes, they will.
Like that's something that's special and dear. We're not, maybe the outsiders and all that, but
right.
Those in-house guys, nah.
And they just can't seem to get up for those AFC opponents. I think they've lost like 13 in a row to the AFC opponents now.
So, unfortunately,
which is why they always falter in preseason, because it's nothing but AFC opponents. Although this year we had Washington, and the Falcons did beat Jacksonville in the last AFC.
I think it was.
Yeah. So, but yeah, they just cannot win against the AFC in the middle of the season.
So this is the question.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to get to the business end of the.
Okay.
Is Dan Quinn a lame duck coach?
I want to say yes.
That's a good question.
I think he is. Now, defense is this guy's bread and butter. That was his calling. That's why he came to Atlanta. That's how he got the job. And so he was going to take a more hands-on role with the defense this season, and look what we get. And then he finally takes his hands off the defense, and they have their best performance of the year. If this continues and the Falcons do go 8-8, 7-9, yeah, I think he is a lame duck.
Mm. It was funny because me and my wife was talking about this, and she is under the impression that regardless on what happens, Dan Quinn's not getting fired. Okay, now my wife knows a bit about sports, and that's because, you know, she watches it with me.
Well, that's good. Right,
right on. She's a UGA fan. She's a Falcons fan, so she doesn't like basketball.
Hey.
Nobody's perfect.
Two Daniel. Sports fans will stay together forever.
Yeah.
Well, but she doesn't like basketball, so nobody's perfect, really.
Exactly. When I was on the dating scene, I mean, back then, that was one of the things I was looking for. Like, if you could... Like, if you sit down and really chop it up with me on sports, that's
a deal maker.
That's your second or third date, baby.
Exactly.
That's your second or third date. But we were talking about that, and I said, listen, the only way Dan Quinn's job gets saved here is if he goes 9-7. If he ends this season 9-7, and he turns this team around after the second half, these next eight games, well the next seven now.
Right.
But these next back half, the back half of this season, if he goes unbeaten, let him keep his job.
Right.
Because, okay. But everybody has to stay intact. Because Albrecht called a hell of a game today. And so did the offensive coordinator. Dirk Cutter, he called a great game plan. It was just a great all-around game plan today. And I think they've heard the frustrations. They got tired of everything. I know I got tired of it, too. It was sad to watch at the beginning.
Oh yes, and last week was just embarrassing.
It was.
I mean, the defense just didn't show up. They were in bad coverages all day.
Yeah, I was starting to wonder, like, is the Falcons season going to be a macrocosm of the Braves' playoff exit, where it just got over? It was ugly quick. And, you know, by after the first inning, right. You're like,
That last game where they got behind 10-0.
Yeah. You know, after the first inning, like, oh, you've accepted your fate early.
Right.
So it's like, is that, you know, I was wondering if that was going to be the case with the Falcons, you know, being 1-7 at one point in time saying, no, we're not going to do that. Matter of fact, we're going to beat convincingly.
Right.
The first place team, which means if you can knock down the first place team in your whole division, which. The Saints are arguably top five in the league right now. They're arguably top three.
Well, they're definitely top five in the NFC.
Can we say that they got exposed today?
How else can you not say it?
Yeah.
Right.
They seen something on tape.
I think that the Rams, the Jaguars, and the Falcons have the blueprint on beating them and knocking them out. Like, if you're teams like Dallas and teams that we know are going to make the playoffs, you're like Dallas, Seattle, even San Francisco.
Oh, you're definitely watching the tape of this game.
Oh, yeah. 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 And Sean Payton is probably going to let his team, especially his defensive line and his corners, look at hand placement. Because four illegal hands to the face, three of those led us to first downs on third down.
Right.
That was just unbelievable. I mean, they had some uncharacteristic penalties in that game, man.
Yes, they did. And you're talking about the Saints and – what they're going to look like in this season in terms of have they been exposed. They still got a couple games left against some really good opponents. I think they still have the 49ers left to play. Do they still have to play the Saints?
Yes. Yes,
yeah,
they do.
That's coming up. And as you said earlier, Atlanta still has to face the 49ers too, yeah. And that's going to be in a couple weeks. So I think the Saints are, you know, they might have a comfortable lead in this division.
And in fact, the Saints are at Tampa Bay next week. Then right. They have Carolina at home. Then it's the Thanksgiving game on NBC at Atlanta.
Okay.
Then it's a home game against San Francisco. That's the only thing that separates them that could possibly be something for them. That's a home game against the 49ers. And they may flex that game to Sunday night.
They'll flex that at San Francisco at New Orleans. Yeah, that game will be the NBC game.
Exactly.
Then they'll host the Falcons and then wrap it up with the I'm talking about the 49ers and then wrap it up with the Rams and Seahawks. So well, the 49ers do not have the easiest schedule coming. Yes, the Seahawks. Then they get a little bit of a break with the Cardinals. Then the Packers.
Then the Packers. Yeah, that's the
Sunday game.
425 game, I think. Yeah.
Right. Then at the Ravens, then we discussed.
At the Ravens. Wow. At the Ravens today, which.
That'll be the 1st of December.
Yeah. Boy, that's going to be a heavyweight fight right there.
Oh, absolutely.
That Lamar Jackson, man. If people are not gung-ho or sold on that guy.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're thinking. This guy here is. He is an absolute stud. He is the reason why they are where they are.
Absolutely.
And then the acquisition of making Marcus, of bringing Marcus Peters in, mm-hmm. who yet again runs back a pick six today, 89 yards.
Saw that.
Listen, Baltimore, if New England has a challenge, it's Baltimore.
Yeah. It was actually reported that Bill Polian had to backtrack some of his statements that he made in reference to Lamar Jackson, saying that he was wrong about him. Because Bill Polian, who, as we know, is the former GM of the Indianapolis Colts, mm-hmm. who was responsible for drafting Peyton Manning,
right.
and they're winning, all the winning that they did with Peyton Manning, and also he was responsible for the Bills, I'm going to call it a dynasty, but the AFC dynasty that was
well, that were the Bills. Right. It's the weakest dynasty ever, even though you say, yes, they went to 4 Super Bowls in a row, but they didn't win.
Right. But they were consistent.
They were the consistent class of the AFC. They just ran into some really bad luck, courtesy of the cigarette smoking man, in the Super Bowls.
In the Super Bowls.
But Bill Polian had to backtrack his statement, saying that he felt that Lamar Jackson, despite throwing for 3,500 yards his junior year and rushing for X amount of yards on the ground, and winning the Heisman, should have been turned into a wide receiver when he hit the NFL. He backtracked his statements, and we appreciate that. And when looking at Lamar Jackson, is he setting a trend for what's going forward in the league, or he's just, you know, maybe part of a wave that we see? He's already a part of an established wave.
Well, I think the same thing we said last decade when Michael Vick made his appearance.
True.
And, you know, that petered out largely because Michael Vick petered out because part of the problem. Well, first of all, he busted his leg and was out for the year.
Yeah.
And then he decided to get into dogfighting.
Yeah.
And right. So those two things kind of conspired against him. Lamar Jackson just needs to stay clean, both health-wise and criminal-wise.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That goes without saying.
Yeah, on the field and off the field.
On the field and off the field. But his style of play makes injury clear a little harder than it would be for your normal drop back passer. Exactly, although, you know, considering the state of his offensive line, let's put it this way. Let's put it this way, guys. Mm-hmm. Your quarterback is only as good as your offensive line.
That's right.
If
we say that every single time.
Right. If you've got if the Ravens can draft quality on the offensive line, build it up, make sure they stay paid, which is going to be hard in the salary cap era.
Yeah.
Keep Lamar Jackson upright and get a good tight end blocker so that when he does improvise, run outside of the pocket, he's got somebody watching his back who can level someone on their back. And,
right.
And same goes with a fullback. If he can get some good blockers, keep him healthy, then yeah, he might be able to to carve out a good career in this league. And kudos to Bill Polian for saying I was wrong. Not many people would do that.
They would do that, yeah.
In this right. day and age.
Because I'm being honest, I believe the Ravens, I mean, I don't want to be the prisoner of the moment,
mm-hmm.
but see, when you look at the teams that win it all, the mentally tough teams, those are the teams that will play against the Bengals and beat them by 30.
And that's what they did.
Today. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You beat the good teams,
mm-hmm.
like they did in New England.
Uh-huh.
And then you really pound on the weaker teams.
Yes.
You're supposed to do. Yeah.
Like they did in Cincinnati.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to play down. See, the teams that are undecided, they're like, they play up to the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And they play down to the competition.
Right.
Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, I would say the Chargers. You know, right. we play up and down depending on who we're playing. And you can't let your opponent's mood dictate your style of play.
Right.
You got to go in with your mind made up, like, hey, we're going to go in there and we're going to take care of business. Which leads me to...
Yeah, speaking of them.
Yeah, which leads me into, you know, what happened. You know, we have Phillip Rivers is going to be an unrestricted free agent next year.
Mm-hmm.
We're not giving him $30 million.
No, he's too old.
Matter of fact, we're about to see Phillip Rivers out the door.
You think so?
Yeah, we're going to have to. I mean, I think that what we've seen in the last minute of the game against the Raiders on Thursday night was you got the ball back with 1 minute and 7 seconds left. I believe it might have been 1 minute and 2 seconds left. 3 timeouts. The ball at the 35-yard line starting out. And you could not march the ball 35 yards in the field goal range so your kicker just win you the game. And the Raiders gave you a boon and missing the extra point.
Yep.
So it's like, hey, you guys can win the game if you want to, in our house, if you so want to. So Phillip Rivers goes 0-7. I mean, they weren't even close. Then we got a penalty blessing. Mm-hmm. He goes 0-7 on the 1 minute drill. Now this is a guy who people are saying that, oh yeah, he could potentially be a lock for Hall of Fame. Okay, there's nobody who's more of a Phillip Rivers fan than me. Okay.
Yep.
I'm talking about I liked him. He's here, but I'm being honest. Okay, since LT has retired, and I'm saying that not when he left the Jets. I'm talking when he left the Chargers. That's when he retired.
Yeah.
He just got to collected a check, and we went to New York when we went to the Jets. Since LT retired in 2009, we have the Chargers been to the playoffs 2 times in 9 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Two times. 2013, where we lost to Denver when Peyton Manning was – we let Peyton Manning come to our division, take it over, and put his feet up on the couch and the table and didn't even wipe his shoes before he walked in and just passed gas in our house when he left.
Yeah.
You know, this man in 2013 – we went to the playoffs in 2013, and we went to the playoffs last year in 2018, okay? Other than that, we have been 8-8, 8-8, 7-9, 8-8, 8-8, which is pretty much going to happen again this year. That's not a Hall of Fame quarterback, in my opinion.
Right.
So we're and they're going to look at that too. They're going to look like, okay, after LT left, what did you do? Not much. All right. Well, what about these yards you collect? Well, if you collect cans, in the words of Shannon Sharp, if you collect cans for 20 years, you're going to have a lot of cans.
Yeah.
So that's yeah, right. you're going to be on some all time list, but at the same time, at the end of the day, people understand W's and L's. So we're going to have to see him out the door after this year, unfortunately. Now we have another nice quarterback that I personally like. Available in Carolina, mm-hmm. potentially. Mm-hmm. If I believe that the Carolina Panthers will lose the game that they're playing against the Packers, and I don't know the decision that the Carolina management will be making at the end of the year if they're going to keep Cam Newton or not.
I don't think they will. I think they like Kyle Allen.
So, therefore, if they do, I'd say, you know, I hope they do too. And we need to send Cam Newton to the Chargers. I believe that we need some new we need a burst of adrenaline. We're in a market right now that no one cares about us. So, someone like Cam Newton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got that Hollywood kind of like style now. He's just got to get rid of that funny hair.
That dress code of his is really out in left field somewhere. But as far as him being 6'5", mm-hmm. 250 pounds,
mm-hmm.
linebacker playing quarterback,
yeah.
We need that.
One takeaway from that Oakland-San Diego game. 4 turnovers.
Oh, yeah,
Phil Rivers. By a guy who used to work in a potato chip factory.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Harris. Yeah. Which is a great story to me. I mean, he was all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Phillip Rivers actually had no answer for him. I thought that was like one of the biggest takeaways from that game. And listen, guys, Oakland's nothing to really sniff at neither. They're right in the mix. They're actually a half game behind Kansas City.
Well, they've
City.
Won three in a, what, two, three in a row?
Three in a row.
Three in a row, and they get Cincinnati next week.
Oakland will be 7-4.
Four in a row. Then after Cincinnati, it's the Jets.
They'll be 7-4.
Five in a row.
Yeah, they'll be 7-4. Yeah. And Cincinnati and Kansas City just lost today.
Yeah. They lost tough today, too. Yeah. That was a tough loss.
Exactly.
So Oakland, can very well possibly be in the running to win a division, and Jay Gruden will win Coach of the Year.
Okay.
Yes, he will because he – John Gruden. Yeah, John?
Yeah.
John's
over in Oakland. Jay
Gruden.
Jay just got fired.
Yeah,
Jay was in Washington. Well, he's the coach formerly known as.
Yes, he was the first coach fired this season.
Yeah.
I think he's the only coach fired.
He's the only one. Right. Yeah.
So
they took no hesitation.
No.
Yeah, they pulled that plug pretty easily.
Completely humiliated him. But, yeah, the head coach formerly known as Jay Gruden, we're talking about John Gruden, will win Coach of the Year this year. He had to deal with the most offseason adversity with the subtraction, with the addition of Antonio Brown and the abrupt subtraction of Antonio Brown.
He had to deal with a lot of scrutiny, too.
Oh, right. Absolutely. Because, you know, especially at the way last year went,
mm-hmm.
Making addition by subtraction from his roster. Khalil Mack situation. You know, he was really, if they would have had, I don't think if they would have had a bad season this year, they would have fired him, but I think. they would have considered.
They had too much invested in him, especially with the move to Las Vegas next
year. Yeah, you don't want to go off and – but it would have been the antennas would have been raised.
They definitely are breathing a very big sigh of relief now that Oakland has made this little run. And, again, it's going to continue for the next 2 weeks.
For the next 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, but on a more positive note, for as far as the Chargers are concerned, Melvin Gordon had 100 yards for the first time. Last game, so he's still Melvin Gordon that we all remember. But I look at the Chargers finishing 8-8 this year. We're going to have to win out. That leads me to another. Which team is more likely to win out this year? The Browns, who I think is I think you and I both, because of our two respective teams, were not performing up to our personal expectations.
Right, right.
So we were going back and forth on whose team. And
our sports friendship was on the line.
Right. Who's more disappointing?
You're saying we're going to always be boys, but our sports friendship almost came to an end.
Oh, well, you were getting at it a couple weeks ago. You were getting at it. Now, Daniel's feeling pretty happy. Leon's like, okay, I'm done. It's like, I'm out of here. I'm done.
You know, but I think we were both wrong. Oh, yeah. We were both wrong.
Yeah.
The most disappointing team this year. See, neither one of our quarterbacks have 9 commercials. Okay.
When you look at that aspect, Leon, you know what? You might be right, my brother. Cleveland.
By a long shot.
Yes. And
but let me ask y'all this, because the three of us, and I know we're included in this because I know I am.
Right. We both thought
11-5, divisional champions. They'll be a 2 or 3 seed. That's what.
Yeah.
That's what everybody, the experts, including ourselves, was saying at the beginning of the year.
Absolutely.
Because of such a hot run that Mayfield was on at the end of the year. He had that. He brought that swagger. He brought that winning mentality in, and then bam. They came into this game at 2-6, and I ain't even realizing. I said, wait a minute. Oh, they've Cleveland again. They're 3-6 now. It was a day with upsets and a whole bunch of drama.
But they still get to play the Bengals twice, the Steelers twice, and the Ravens.
They got the Steelers on Thursday night.
And they get the Dolphins. They also get the Dolphins and the Cardinals.
See, they could turn their season around.
They could easily go 8-8.
Easily
go 8-8.
Easily. In fact, yeah, that's right. They can only lose 2 games in there. They're going to lose to Baltimore. Baltimore's going to beat them up.
Yep.
That Steelers game.
Although that Baltimore game is in Cleveland.
Baltimore's still going to beat them up, man.
Yeah, they're still mad.
They can't stop the run.
Right.
Cleveland can't. They won't be able to stop Lamar Jackson on the edges and even Mark Ingram. Do y'all know in that Baltimore game that they lined up 3 Heisman Trophy winners at one point in time in the backfield?
Wow.
3 of them. Mark Ingram, Lamar Jackson, and Robert Griffin III. And Griffin ended up getting the pitch. I thought that was impressive from Arbaugh, one of the Arbaugh boys. I can't never remember which one is there.
I'd be mixing them up, too. Don't feel bad. But Pittsburgh really is nothing to wink at. Pittsburgh is 4-4 right now. Pittsburgh is vying for a playoff spot despite all the nonsense they have went through, and they may potentially get Le'Veon Bell back before the end of the year, potentially.
Yeah, because he's
not doing well in the Jets.
No, he's not.
He's starting to realize. Wait a minute, this wasn't the best idea.
Well, he got his money.
Just shut up.
Yeah, he got his money.
Just not winning.
Yeah,
it's like I would have got my money too. Shoot, I'm not even gonna lie to you. Shoot, you got about $6-7 million. You know, we weren't gonna get that in Pittsburgh.
Well,
so either he could double back and he could come back, and I got my money and I'm off the win something potentially.
Yeah. Well, the Ravens, they have a 2.5 game lead over Pittsburgh in the North. I don't think they're gonna make. I don't think Pittsburgh's gonna make that up.
No, that's the Ravens division.
Yeah, Ravens are going to win that. It's just a matter of who's going to come out of the South and who's going to come out of the West.
Yeah, those are the two best races. And boy, the Texans and the Colts and the Titans with that win. And then all of a sudden here comes Jacksonville.
Yeah, can't write Jacksonville
completely
off.
Coming back next week. So, that's going to be an interesting thing.
Too. Yeah, the AFC South is tight right now. Jacksonville is probably, and like I said, they've caught a little bit of fire, and they're – in last place at 4-5.
Yep.
No. Yeah.
And remember, Foles is back in the lineup.
Yeah.
Yep.
In his next start. So.
So, and looking at Cleveland, and looking at Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. First, I'm looking at Atlanta, and if the Atlanta Falcons, if the season finishes subpar, let's safe to say that Dan Quinn. I'm forgetting Freddie Kitchen. Dan Quinn. Okay. Dan Quinn will be out of here, more than likely. unless Arthur Blank has like some type of, you know, Christmas spirit that he's like, you know what, it wasn't your fault. Somehow, somehow he comes to that conclusion. But politics demands that someone take the blame.
It might be Dimitrov who takes the blame.
Which, and I think it's a guarantee that he's out, Dimitrov.
Okay.
I think it's a real guarantee that he's out of there.
Just for not picking right, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a pretty decent draft when he drafted Deion Jones. You know, I mean, he's drafted some good players. I mean, Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones.
Right.
On the defensive side of the ball. Of course, you draft Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
You know.
But politics are politics. And the punishment will have to be distributed somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the GM and the head coach might be out. It might be a double whammy. But next year, if the Falcons finish subpar, do the Falcons put themselves in a position to see about Mr. Fields at Ohio State?
Ohio State.
Look, this is a tough one. Yes, Matt Ryan's got a couple of good years left in him. He's only 33.
Right.
He's got I would say no. He's got a couple of good years left. You can get by with a quality backup for now. You listen to the social media, the Twitterati. Whenever they lose, it's Matt Ryan's fault.
Yeah.
And it's not. I mean, it's just so not fair to Matt because he can't play defense.
No, he can't.
But that's three. That'd be potentially. I'm talking about next year. I'm just speaking hypotheticals. It may not even happen.
This might have next season.
Next season
becomes a disaster. Yeah.
Right. We're talking about three strikes.
Right.
On your resume.
Let's just say which side of the ball the disaster's on. Last year was the defense. This year it's the defense.
Right.
And, you know, they only had really, what, one bad game? I mean, you got to expect if you score 20 or more points, you're going to win.
Yeah.
And the Falcons are just getting, you know, I have to look. But their schedule, their teams were just running up points with a bandit.
Like the Houston Texans put up 53.
Exactly.
It's like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. And with little to no response.
Right.
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 I mean, yeah, so I mean, it's not, like I said, it's not the offense. It's not the offensive fault. It's the defense. And you got to give teams credit. By and large, they don't listen to us. They make their own decisions. I say by and large. There are some examples where you would think they only do listen to us only because we're just pounding at the parapets. Arkansas, and usually college is where you'll see this. I think Florida State listened to the fans and got rid of Taggart. I think Arkansas listened to the fans and got rid of Chad Morris. But you look at some of the scores. Let's see, they had 12 points against the Vikes, 24 in the victory over Philadelphia,
right?
24 against Indianapolis. Okay, they put up a donut against the Titans, only 10, but 32 against the Texans, 33 against the Cardinals, 10 against the Rams, okay, and 20 against the Seahawks. You know, like I said, you score 20 to 30 points, you should win.
That's right. I mean, on any level, whether if it's college or the pros.
Yeah.
I mean, we're gonna get to college in a minute. We're gonna have to.
Yeah, we're going to. We're wrapping this up.
But yeah, you would have to think. I mean, a lot of people just can't see the amount of stuff that the Falcons have given up so far. It's just been phenomenal, and then they turn around today and they put on the performance that we expected them to do all season.
Right.
Especially on the defensive end.
Right.
Like, Atlanta shouldn't have had to put up this many points and be like the number two ranked passing team in the league because they're down by X amount of points.
Right.
Like, I'm telling you, man, if you saw that game, folks, from start to finish, you saw the potential that Atlanta Falcons defense has. And this was without Desmond Trufant.
Right.
Let's remember that. You got two young corners on each side. Yeah, Michael Thomas got his. He's going to get his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 150 yards back receiving.
Yeah, so 13 catches, right?
Right.
You know, he's going to get his. But to stop Alvin Kamara in space, and Devontae Campbell even had a game. He had a hell of a game today.
Well, they finally they got rid of the human holding penalty, Robert Alford, and they got rid of him. That was a good move. But like I said, it's the defense finally stepped up. And again, we're gonna say this until the cows come home. It's not the offense's fault. Yes, Matt Ryan did not deliver a Super Bowl in 3 years ago, and until he wins one, the Falcons fans are not going to forgive him. The only way the Falcons fans will forgive Matt Ryan, they put that Super Bowl loss on his shoulders, mm-hmm. even though it really wasn't. He was just calling the plays.
He's calling the plays.
And, does he just go rogue and start running the ball? No, he's calling. He's just doing what the offensive coordinator tells him. Until he wins a Super Bowl, the Atlanta Falcons fans are not going to forgive him for 28-3. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, yeah.
As simple as that.
And that's where we ended it.
Yep, that's going to wrap us up on pro football. Turning to the college again, big news. Kind of a very quiet story came out. Georgia beat Missouri last night, but no one is actually talking about that because we've got the atom bomb that got detonated over in Tuscaloosa as LSU finally beat Alabama.
Eight game losing streak,
and boy, Alabama's defense got completely hung out to dry in this one. I've never seen an Alabama defense look this bad. Guys, is Joe Burrow just that good?
I got a real question for you guys.
You got it.
Let's build on that, please.
Okay. Yeah.
Who's the better quarterback? You taking Joe Burrow or Tua?
Right now,
you gotta take Burrow though.
Joe is hitting on all cylinders right now. Listen, I love Tua Tagovailoa. Mm-hmm. It's a lot that I have to say about this game yesterday because I saw this. I almost saw it from start to finish, but my Wi-Fi went out in my house, so I couldn't watch it. So I missed about an hour and a half about it, and then then the game comes back on, and it's 33-13, and I said, "Oh, Joe!" But everybody had been talking about this. This was one of these two quarterbacks, Leon, and you may agree with me on this, had to have their Heisman moment. It was set up for them. Here comes LSU on an 8-game losing streak on the road against mighty, mighty Nick Saban in Alabama, who had 2 weeks to prepare for this game versus Tua Tagovailoa, who's not healthy. Ankle injury.
20 days removed from surgery.
Yep. Somebody had to make a Heisman moment. And damn it, if Tua didn't almost make it, but Joe had probably more of an advantage because, to your point, John, Alabama, their secondary has been banged up.
Right.
Their defense has just been banged up all year, so they just can't get healthy. But Joe made some plays.
Well, Tua outthrew him. 400
Tua outthrew him, but Joe by 25 yards. Outplayed him.
Yeah, but the thing, granted, Joe, Tua hit for about 418, and Joe hit for 393, and Tua hit for 418. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Joe's QBR was like 91.9, and Tua was 41, was like less than 50
because he had a pick.
Yes, yeah,
and a fumble,
A fumble. Yeah,
so it's like,
and he got sacked about 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You tell that he was definitely he was shaken, but I kind of thought that who's the better quarterback was like a trick question. Because for them both, it was target practice out there. There was no defense being played.
No, it wasn't.
Like I said, at the halftime, the score was like
33-13.
So Alabama actually showed up in the second half, their defense.
They cut
it to 6. Right. Yeah. They only won by 6. Their defense showed up, and Tua came.
46-41.
Right. So they won by 5. So Tua came alive
especially in that fourth quarter.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I want to look at his QBR for the second half, but they definitely showed out. I believe the pro scouts were just licking their lamb chops watching that game. Like, yeah, okay, he's going to be good. We could use them both.
Yeah.
I think I don't think it's an accurate gauge. When looking at okay, who's the better quarterback? I don't know. Flip a coin. 2 out of 3.
Right.
Yeah. they both.
Tua Tagovailoa.
It's going to be a great pro. Joe Burrow's is going to be a great pro.
Right.
So he's going to be nice in the league, man.
And that led me to my last question. And that was actually when not just Justin Fields, but Joe Burrow's, Tua, the quarterback from Washington.
Jacob Eason.
great. It's a lot. I'm
Fields,
trying.
Fields, Herbert.
Justin Herbert from Oregon.
Yes, yeah. It's a lot of young guns in this, that's going to be in this draft in the upcoming years.
Right.
So I'm looking at if that, that's why, and that's why I asked the question, because I already know what's going to happen to my guy in with the Chargers. He's just pretty much that right there. Just put the period at the end of the sentence that last drive. If only only way that his job gets saved unless we went out. But in Atlanta, you know, granted the offense isn't terrible. You know, it's not terrible, but the end result is the end result.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was like, shoot, if it happens like this again next year, which let's hope that it doesn't, because this is a pro team. You got people getting paid millions of dollars. I don't think that the Falcons will be bad 3 years in a row. But if it comes to that, something will have to be done, because I'm looking at Detroit. I'm like, man, how come the trigger hasn't been pulled in Detroit as of yet? They paid Matt a lot of money back in 2015, but – he hasn't really just ran the score up too much.
We've talked about Matt Stafford. He's serviceable. He's just there.
You know, look in Cincinnati. Andy Dalton hasn't.
Well, Andy Dalton's on the way out.
Yeah.
He is on the way out.
They benched him today.
Yeah, they did.
What's going on in Tennessee.
Mariota's on the way out.
Yeah.
Miami is – I think they're going to be on quarterback 19.
And Miami just stunned the Colts today.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, 16-12.
Yeah.
You know, going back to college, this weekend it kind of opened your eyes a little bit because now the college football playoff has come out.
Right.
So, you know, everybody had this whole big uproar about Clemson, you know, and their place at the beginning of it. Listen, they were number 5. That whole thing, they didn't look into that. They're right where they need to be.
Yeah.
But I didn't have a problem with their ranking.
Okay.
They are in a terrible conference. You can't expect for a team like that, and that's what they're being punished for.
Right.
It's not their fault. You know what I'm saying? That there is no one that's remotely close to them in the ACC.
At all.
Remotely close.
It's not even close.
We could have thought that Wake Forest was, but now we're starting to see the real Wake Forest come out. They've lost 2 in a row.
They'll lose 3 in a row next week.
Lose 3 in a row because that's who they play, right?
Yeah.
Florida State, we know where they are.
They look for a new coach.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Excuse me. Miami, Duke, Virginia's still a question mark. You know, we already know where these teams are. So, and then it didn't make it so bad. Really, they're only good non-conference opponent was Texas A&M.
But give Clemson credit. They will schedule that tough non-conference opponent on a home-and-home. They will do that.
Yeah, that's right.
They will do that. I mean, they got Georgia coming up on a home-and-home. I don't think it's for a couple years, but they are on the schedule. And I have to check something. But before we get in on that, Daniel, quick question. What do you think of the rumor? And this is all it is. It's a rumor. That the Florida State Seminoles, you know where I'm going.
Yeah, you know I know exactly where you're going.
Florida State Seminoles, there was a report they're looking at primetime. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, this is nothing but some hack journalist looking for clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
That's all this is. It's not going to happen. They're not going to do this.
If it does, it would be tremendous for recruiting to get primetime. I mean, Deion Sanders is probably one of your most famous alums from Florida State University.
Right.
He is the greatest cornerback ever, in my opinion. So he knows the game. The recruiting is where we would win at every time because you got primetime sitting in your living room. It's primetime in your living room.
But does he want to do it? Does he know the first thing about coaching?
Right, right. And now he has he got that youth program that he coaches, but to your point, John, now we're talking about the real deal, Holyfield, right?
Right.
We're talking about the real deal here. And we're talking about recruiting kids and taking care of kids, you know, for 4 years,
right,
or sometimes 3, you know, and getting folks to buy into your system and buy into your
play. But does he have a system? That's my
thing. That's what I'm saying. Like, if he does come in, he would have to create one.
Right.
You know? So, for me, it's a 60-40. 60, yeah, 40, no, because the 40, I don't know how he would be in the ACC.
Yeah.
And you still are going to have some of Taggart's and some of Jimbo's players. So, How would that work? You know, I would. Here's who I would go with. Okay, if you can't, let's say Prime is out of the window. Okay?
Right.
Let's say he's not even a choice.
Right.
For me to just say yay or nay to. They played for Odell Hagans yesterday, man. So they did. 38-31 victory over Boston College. They did. And they're gonna get a bowl game because they play Alabama State. So
right. And they got 5 wins right now.
Yeah, they got 5 wins right now.
They need one more.
We'll probably lose to Florida. Yeah. Okay, because Florida's a better football team.
Right. Who else do you have?
I think that's it, if I'm not mistaken.
So there's got to be one more.
There's got to be one more game.
One more. There's got to be one more conference game.
Yeah.
All right. Getting back to Clemson, mm-hmm. there will be next season, November 7th, Clemson at Notre Dame.
Clemson at Notre Dame?
Yeah, I know how that's going to be on primetime NBC. We yeah. know how that
NBC.
Game
is. NBC is going to push that to Saturday night. Yeah, no,
that game will be rated R.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Graphic violence.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game.
One more question. There was another thing that happened Saturday. Minnesota over Penn State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Minnesota over Penn State, guys.
Okay, you know, we were both.
Kind of rode a boat.
Yeah, we were both wrong. Florida is done. With the ACC. That was their last game.
Yeah, that was their last game.
So they got Alabama State and then Florida.
Bye, I think. And then it's Florida. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they need to have 5-5 overall, 4-4 in conference. That's what they're going to wind up as. So, yeah, they got to beat Alabama State to get bowl eligible, 6-6.
Yeah, it's like.
And they'll still get the Outback Bowl, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, okay, so next year, is Georgia going to make that step next year? Because LSU made the step. Because, you know, Georgia and LSU were like the two teams that they're always in the conversation.
That was another thing I wanted to say about.
Yeah, Georgia, LSU is going to be your ACC, your SEC championship
game.
Well,
if Georgia wins.
There's no one else.
They play Auburn.
They play Auburn and Texas A&M.
Texas A&M.
That's it.
And I think that's tough.
So Georgia's going to get their crack.
Yeah,
they're going to get their crack at it.
Mm-hmm. But they got to beat if they win the SEC East if they beat Auburn next week. Florida would have had to lose yesterday.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
56-0.
Yeah, 56-0.
Derek Mason is out the door.
Yeah.
Saved his job with the win over Missouri, but now it's gone again.
Yeah, I think Derek Mason's time is probably up.
And you made a good point with reference to the Penn State Minnesota. That was very disappointing. That wasn't supposed to happen,
but it was an eye opener too because Minnesota can play some football. Another thing about Alabama LSU, that was a why not game. You know, we always see it just like Minnesota. This was like a why not weekend. You have matchups, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you say, okay, I got the best team this year to beat that team.
All
right. LSU had the best team this year. You can arguably say. To beat that Alabama team. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? And they did. Minnesota had the best team this year
mm-hmm.
to beat Penn State and probably could win the Big Ten. I'm going to say it. They could probably win the Big Ten. Even beat Ohio State. They got the team to do it.
They got the best chance of doing it.
Why not?
Why not?
I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Hey, listen, Ohio State look good.
Yeah.
Another thing, Daniel, September 5th next season, Florida State versus West Virginia at the Benz. You going?
Oh, I got to. No, I don't have a choice.
Yeah. That's going to be at home.
I don't have a choice. At the Benz? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. See, here it is.
Man. Yeah, that's Labor Day weekend. I just make sure we don't have anything.
Yeah. Well, I think you should go. This is the game I think you should go to.
Yeah, the blue turf, Boise State.
Yeah, they play at Boise State on the 19th.
Yeah, we owe them one.
To Smurfield. So, yeah, I think you should make the trip up to the potato capital of the world. So, all right, John Morgo, Daniel Bolton, Leon Brown. Here we are, the last three guys to do a podcast talking all things college football. We mentioned Reinhart was off, but they did clinch the Appalachian Division title in the Mid-South Conference. Georgia State lost a disappointing matchup to ULM, Louisiana Monroe. That sets up a huge game coming up this Saturday at Georgia State, Appalachian State. This is going to be for all the marbles in the Eastern Division of the Sun Belt Conference. Whoever wins will probably get that. It's going to be a really tough game because Appalachian State, they did it again. Oops, they did it again, just like Britney Spears. They beat North Carolina earlier. This time they do a Carolina double double shot, mm-hmm. beat South Carolina.
Yeah.
So I guess we can crown Appalachian – well, we really can't because, you know, Clemson's there. But we guess we can call Appalachian State the second-best school in the Carolinas.
Yeah, maybe the best.
No, nah, they're not going to be Clemson.
Well, no. Well, yeah, I forgot about Clemson. Yeah, you said the Carolinas. Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean.
So that's going to be a tough game for Georgia State next week.
Yeah, it
is. Panthers are going to really need that one, and we'll see if they can come off the mat, get the big upset in front of their home crowd. We're going to need a big crowd getting into Georgia State Stadium for that one. And while we're counting down, we still got a little time left. Leon, it's your turn to talk about the NBA. What has impressed you the most, or not impressed you, about the last week of games? How are your Lakers doing? Lakers best team in the West, aren't they?
The Lakers are – we're the best team in the NBA right now.
Okay.
And we had the Raptors tonight, which I'm looking for the Lakers to destroy with precision, of course.
Right.
The Raptors. I like I'm still – the jury to me is still out on Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
Okay.
Sometimes it works.
I've said that.
Sometimes – some nights it goes good.
Mm-hmm.
Some nights it just not.
No. Sometimes it goes not so good.
Right. But when I look at the Lakers, you know, we're actually in – you know, we could possibly get Andre Iguodala from Memphis. Who's not playing right now. He's not playing for Memphis right now. He's just pretty much
– Well, Memphis is working on Ja Morant. I mean, they are trying to get him involved as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he is an absolute stud. I don't know if you guys have seen him the last couple of games or the first games of the season, but that kid can play, man.
Yeah. And my – go ahead.
Murray State is not far from Memphis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in the general –
It's in the general area. Murfreesboro, right?
No.
No, that's Middle Tennessee.
MTSU. They're in Clarksville, I want to say.
Clarksville, okay.
I want to say. I'm not 100% sure on that. I'm gonna look that up. Go ahead.
And we have the Lakers have the not the Falcons. I'm still thinking about the Falcons. I'm sorry, America.
They had a great game today, right?
Yeah.
They're in a place called Murray, Kentucky. It's near Paducah. They're on the western side of Kentucky.
But tonight, the Lakers have the Toronto Raptors, who are the second-best team as of right now, first eight games in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
The Raptors?
Yeah, actually the Raptors. Yeah, you know, the best team in the Eastern Conference right now is, that has the best record, at least, are the Celtics.
Wow.
The Kemba Walker-less, because, yeah, look at the Celtics roster. They have a rejuvenated Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
6 foot
broke
eight.
His hand too.
Yeah. Oh man, yeah. Unfortunately, so, you know, but I'm.
Yeah. But they'll be fine.
Yeah,
They
have a freshly paid Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They have the new look point guard Kemba Walker.
Mm-hmm.
They still have Jason Tatum, who's vying for a contract after this season.
Yeah,
you know the Boston. They have. I haven't seen what they're doing too much with Taco Fall.
Yeah, me neither. I think they're probably trying to wait to unleash him a little
bit. Right, work him in.
Work him in.
Get him in more than NBA
get
mind
his
state.
Footwork together because he doesn't have the footwork.
Right.
You know,
to be
NBA
a factor.
Footwork.
Right, yeah. To be a factor on
the inside. Right.
Right. But from what I'm seeing out of the Lakers, and we have DeMarcus Cousins that can still return possibly in like April,
mm-hmm.
which is – I don't know how we're going to work him in. But – with the acquisition of Andre Iguodala potentially looming over the horizon, that's going to place the Lakers. This is going to be the deepest the Lakers have been since the 2009-2010 championship team that we had,
mm-hmm.
with everybody had a backup.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's almost refreshing, you know. And on the flip side, you have something that's going on with this load management controversy that's brewing with Kawhi Leonard. Because, you know, people are questioning Kawhi Leonard, you know, hey, you're not even injured. Why are you not playing games? It was rumored that he stated that he was only going to be playing 65 games. Granted, you know, Greg Popovich has been doing this for years. But when ESPN and TNT look at their respective TV deals that they have with the NBA,
mm-hmm.
and you have players like Kawhi Leonard missing nationally televised games against other big names like Giannis Antetokounmpo, and that's mm-hmm. affecting ratings. ESPN and TNT will use this as leverage against the NBA, and this right here will be a major test for the players-friendly Adam Silver. Mm-hmm. David Stern wasn't having it.
Right.
He
wanted you in every game.
Absolutely. You know, this is almost on, you know, when you look at people like Michael Jordan.
It's business.
Yeah, it's absolutely. You know, they're not going to shorten the season.
Yeah. No, nope, that's not going to happen. They're not going to start at Christmas.
No.
Like they did when they had the lockout.
Right.
That was the year the Heat finally got it together and won.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going to get tricky. But this, and it all makes me kind of relieved that the Lakers did get Kawhi Leonard, because him playing alongside LeBron Anthony Davis and you're only playing 65 games is going to look kind of interesting, because LeBron is really the real veteran in the situation, who's in year 17, and he's sitting out no games as of right now. So it's going to get interesting. And another interesting thing that I've noticed that's going on in Golden State. Golden State can, though they're losing.
Yeah.
Okay, though they're losing. But this
injuries are killing them too.
Exactly. With Steph Curry probably out for the year now, they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not coming back. He could be coming back in March. He's not going to come back for this. You know, no, that's a foregone conclusion. The first chance that he got, he's getting out. Nah, I want my name attached to this. But this can be an extension of the summer league for the Golden State Warriors, because now you're seeing new talent that you could possibly nurture to go off and team up alongside the Steph Currys, the Klay Thompson. And if I'm Golden State, you re-sign D'Lo.
Okay.
You re-sign him. That is the closest thing that you could possibly
re-sign
get.
Who?
D'Lo.
D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, yeah.
You re-sign him, because that's the closest thing to get.
That Joker just put up like 56 in his game, in one game this week.
Yeah, he put up 43 and 45 points against in a losing effort against the Minnesota Timberwolves, but he put up 43 or 45 points.
Yeah.
You need him out there comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You need him used to being the man. So, therefore, he will come back with that same energy next year, and that right there is your replacement for Kevin Durant. He's no Kevin Durant, not by a long shot, but he's a volume scorer, and that's what you need to go alongside the Steph Currys and the Klay Thompson and Draymond Greens. So, it's a lot of good things, you know, first nine games of the season. I like what I'm seeing.
Right.
Especially out of my team.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Your team's going great.
7-8 in a row, I think.
Oh, right, man. You know, especially.
Haven't lost since opening night.
Exactly.
Yeah. Lost that Clipper game, and then that's it.
That's it.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up here, unless you guys do a podcast. We've got about 5 minutes left. So, stories, tidbits, facts, random bits of trivia you may have missed during the week. Who wants to go first?
I'll take it first.
Okay, yeah. You're usually last, but we'll take it first this time. Yeah.
I'm doing a buy-in and a sellout.
Okay.
This week, I'm buying in to the Oregon Ducks, the women's college basketball team.
Yes,
the Oregon Ducks. They upset the U.S. women's national basketball team 93-86 this weekend, behind probably one of the most sought-out draft picks we've ever seen in Sabrina Ionescu. I talked about her a couple of months ago.
Right.
They won 93-86. This was the first time that a Team USA team, and this was the same team that actually won by an average of 38.6 points in the America Cup, mm-hmm. this past summer, just running through teams. But they lose 83-86, only the second team to beat, the second collegiate team to beat Team USA, which was
Tennessee in 1999.
There you go, John. Tennessee 1999 was the last team to do it. So that's my buy-in. My sellout is Mr. Dion Waiters. I don't know if you guys heard this story, but Dion Waiters of the Miami Heat is suspended for 10 games for the season for conduct detrimental to the team. Now, here's the conduct that was detrimental to the team.
Oh, no.
He had some gummies, a bag of gummies.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And they said he hallucinated. he was having hallucinations.
Well, they were the funky gummies.
Yeah. Funny gummies that are not for your 3-year-old child. For your 33-year-old child. That's what they're for. Yeah. They said he was having panic attack on the team's flight from Phoenix to Los Angeles after consuming a THC-infused edible. So he is suspended for 10 games because he does not know how to control his
and all sharp objects are being kept away from him for the foreseeable future.
He is my sellout for this week.
Man.
I am selling Dion Waiters to whoever wants him. He's on the table.
Yeah. I'm going to go dilapidated and petrified.
There we go.
And validated and verified. I've been waiting on it. Oh, yeah. My first will be going to my first was two quarterbacks. That's dilapidated and petrified and validated and verified.
Mm-hmm.
One would be, it's interesting, Phil Rivers and Drew Brees, they have an interesting history of one another.
Yeah, they do.
If I'm Drew Brees, if you're the New Orleans Saints, mm-hmm. just like Phil Rivers.
Right.
Yep.
You know, do you re-sign Drew Brees after this year, despite how well the Saints may do? But this loss was an expose.
This loss was ugly, yes.
It was an expose. I think Drew Brees.
It was the ugliest loss of the year, you can honestly say.
Yeah.
It was worse than the Rams loss, because the Rams, I think, we thought was going to be better anyway. They were defending NFC champions.
Right.
Yeah. Drew Brees looked like he'd been in the league since 2001.
That's a particular game.
Absolutely. And after this year, if you're the Saints, do you look at Terry Bridgewater to take over the reins, or is Terry Bridgewater going to start somewhere else?
They might draft somebody. But again, they're just going to be so far down the list. They're going to have to really, really either trade up, which I don't think they're going to do. I don't think they have enough draft picks in order to trade up, or they're going to have to do their homework and try to find somebody either in the mid second or third rounds.
Or do you go off and pay the quarterback that went 5-0 with you?
You probably will do that in the interim. And then figure out how you're gonna do this.
Yeah, something's gonna have to give. And then with Mr. Phillip Rivers, same scenario we discussed earlier. You know, he's a unrestricted free agent after this year. Do you pay him $30 million to go 8-8, or potentially less than that? Or do you look toward the draft, or do you go off and see that young man that's 6'5" across the country, 240, who's gonna be looking for a team after this year? You know, it is what it is.
Right.
My validated and verified, sad to say, you know, it's out there, Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm.
And the loss that the Browns suffered last week, though it was painful, though he had under 100 yards, 7 balls thrown his way, he caught 5 of them.
Right.
And please believe, he let the media know that. His brand is not affected. Despite how bad the Browns may be losing, Odell was sure to let it be known, it is not my fault.
Which is something. Did he score today? Did he get a touchdown in their game against Buffalo?
Hold on. If he did, he might have been the only one, because the final score was 19-16.
Right. I meant to look that up, but I totally slipped my mind. So we're going to do that quick. And while the guys quickly look up that fact, well, Daniel's talking about one person whose career took a downturn because of the medically infused gummies. There's another person whose career went down the hills formally because of a similar situation. This is the local product, Grayson, out of Grayson, Robert Kimdichie. He was let go by the Miami Dolphins this week. And you know, if the Dolphins let you go, you know you are really at the end of your rope.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is...
Understatement.
Now, this is the gentleman who went to Ole Miss and then had the issue with a black market ganja that caused him to have a panic attack and jump out a window at a balcony, fell 3 stories here in Atlanta.
Oh, my goodness.
So
I remember that story. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So Robert Kimdichie, again, I think I heard somewhere along the way that maybe this is, well, a medical condition or some strange thing. But again, now we are moving in a society where marijuana use is becoming more and more accepted, above the accepted part of the mainstream. But still, when you get stuff like this, you're going to run into people who are going to sell you things that may not be legitimate.
Right.
We're going to have a clearinghouse to find out. We want the official good stuff, not the stuff that got cut with. You don't know what they put in this stuff.
Nowadays.
And it reminds me of a situation a couple years ago. I don't quite remember the athlete involved. It was a Winter Olympics. It was a Winter Olympic, probably one of the new events where the X Games were influencing this. Gentleman won an event, went to a drug test, found out it was test positive for marijuana, and immediately was suspended. But then they gave it back to him because they realized this doesn't impact your performance.
Yeah.
Right.
So
that's right.
Like I said, we're coming to a new age, but just because it's a new age, it does not mean anything goes. You got to be careful. You got to know what you're putting into your body. And we cannot stress that enough. Know what's going into your system before you put it in, or else.
I'm going to be honest with you. One, Odell Beckham did not score a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah, I was just about to say.
He did not.
Second.
It was Landry who scored it.
Okay. Right. Second.
So that means the number of touchdowns Odell Beckham has scored this season is equal to the number you, and me scored this season.
Which is a big fat.
Man, he hasn't scored a touchdown.
Hasn't scored a touchdown, but yet and still, his brand has not been affected.
Well, until he scores a touchdown, his brand is being affected. Got news for OBJ.
Yeah. You know, and to build on your point in reference to the edibles, let me tell you, I accidentally, you know, and I don't do any type of drugs like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I accidentally ate two funny brownies one time.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. And let me tell you, the panic attacks, that is, I'm talking, I felt like I was on like a 7-hour roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, that's your heart starts beating fast. You start feeling like Craig from Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, man, it's like you're trying to like shake it off, but it's not going anywhere. Yeah. So I could just imagine where Mr. Waiters is coming from on a flight.
I mean, I've had the brownies too.
Oh, man.
We can talk about this off the air.
Yeah, let's talk about this off the air. That's a good time as any to us. To let things go here on the last three guys to do a podcast. I'm John Morgan alongside Daniel Bolton and Leon Brown.
That'll, just say no.
That's Nancy Reagan had it right, folks. Yep. Just say no. We'll be with you in 7 more days. We'll be talking about Reinhardt and Union. We'll be talking about a lot of other stuff. College basketball. We'll have a week of games under its belt. We'll talk about the teams we will like to see. And we'll have some more for you. So, again, you want to know where we are? We're right here. The last three guys do a podcast. I'm John Morgo. Reach me at John_Morgo on Twitter. Hit us up. Ask a question. We may answer it on air. We'll see you next week. This has been the last three guys to do a podcast. Tell anyone you know about us. We are the go-to source for sports talk here in Atlanta.